The next speaker is Rob van Pent from the Netherlands, talking about early examples of eclipse mapping.
Okay, you can dim the lights. I will not need the lights. Well, first of all, I would also like to extend my thanks to the organizers of this conference, the Porto friends, and I have just a little bit of background of myself. I've of course seen plenty of partial eclipses, but those of course don't count. I have seen one total eclipse, so, and that was in Germany in the 1999 eclipse in Karlsruhe. It was clouded most of the day, but just at the right time and just at the right area of the sky, it opened, saw a magnificent solar eclipse, and 5 minutes afterwards the sky closed again and rained the whole afternoon.
Wow.
Well, of course, this is an experience many of you perhaps have also had. But anyway, it has whetted my appetite to see more of these eclipses. Now, the topic of my presentation will be early maps of solar eclipse paths. I mean, we of course are all familiar with the modern charts of the circumstances of solar eclipses. Many of you know the traditional atlases by Volzer, Schroeter, Ginzel, and other printed versions of these maps. Nowadays, of course, it's all available on the internet, on the magnificent website of Fred Espenac, where you can find all these kinds of maps from 3000 BC up to 3080. But the question which intrigued me during the past year, who was the first to actually plot maps of this kind? Now, in the literature, it's usually the English astronomer Edmund Halley who gets the credit as being the first to actually produce, have these maps printed. Of course, in this audience, Edmund Halley needs no introduction. He's famous for his comet, but he's of course also famous for his other astronomical and scientific work. And of course, he already has, in the field of cartography, already has a certain name, because he was the first, as far as is known, the first person who made maps with draw ISO lines. That means lines of constant, in this case, magnetic variation. So he has, in some sense, he is an innovator in the field of cartography. Now, these two maps of the solar eclipse paths, the one for 1715 and 1724, I'm sure that most of you have seen these maps before, and if you want to have more information on these maps, there's quite a substantial literature on that as well. However, these maps of Edmund Halley are not the first. And in my paper, I would like to show you some earlier examples. And for those maps, you have to leave England, you have to leave the English-speaking part of the world, but you have to go to the continent. You have to look in Germany, you have to look in the Netherlands, perhaps even in France or in Italy, because that's where you find earlier examples. Am I going backwards or forwards? No, this is okay. What we here have is an overview of the total eclipses, annual eclipses and hybrid eclipses of the first two decennia of the 18th century. You can recognize, of course, the 1750 eclipse going over England, but there are some earlier ones for which I have been able to find maps. And the earliest one, which in fact I have been able to find, is this pamphlet, which was printed just before the occasion of the 1706 eclipse of 12 May, and it was published. I will show you some details of this later, because this is so there's so much detail on it that in this view you can't recognize the details. But this one was published by Andreas van Lichtenburg, who was a teacher of mathematics and navigation at various schools in Rotterdam and Amsterdam. His name, his date of birth is not known, but we know that he died in 1709. And shortly before this particular eclipse, he published this pamphlet. And next view, I'll first show you the bottom half of this pamphlet. Even at this scale, much of it is unreadable because it's just simply too fine print. It's of course all in Dutch. I apologize for that, but that's the way it is. But I will summarize what you find here. On the bottom part of this pamphlet is a very detailed description of the circumstances of this solar eclipse, as it will be seen, because this was published before the eclipse took place. of the circle of the circumstances of the collapse as it would be observed from various parts of Europe. This Mr. Von Luxemburg was a bit highly opinionated. He believed he was clever in a lot of matters, also on calendrical matters. For instance, he was convinced that the Julian calendar was wrong, but he was also convinced that the Gregorian calendar was wrong.
Oh.
So, in fact, the date that he mentions for this particular eclipse, he gives it first as the 12th of May in the false time reckoning, and on the 11th of May in the true time reckoning, at least true in his opinion. Let's now have a look at the map itself, which is also interesting. On the map itself, you can see, well, first of all, I mentioned that earlier, just before the coffee break, that you have to realize in the early 18th century, there was, of course, the mapping of the world was not as good as we have it nowadays. I mean, especially the further you get away from Europe, the larger the errors become. I might even perhaps predict that there are one or two people in this audience who come from places which are not even on the map. Especially if you look at Australia, New Zealand, I mean, it's very incompletely mapped. And if you have a look at North America, you can see this huge mass of land running all the way to Japan, which is just simply evidence that the northwestern coast of America was hardly known at all in those days. But at least in the sense of von Luxemburg, it did have a sense, this large, massive land, because that was the place where he had to house the 12 lost tribes of Israel. That's what it says there. Now, let's have, if you look a bit closer on the map, you can see from the middle of the Atlantic, there's a capital A running up to, Finland, B, and going all the way to China, C. That was how he figured that the path of the solar eclipse would run. So you can see in this very early example, this is a very crude approximation of the path. But that's the earliest one which I could find. But from this same eclipse, I found, a little bit too hard. This Andreas von Luxemburg, he made these calculations on a yearly basis because he also published an almanac. This is an example of the almanac for 1696. And every year, he published such an almanac giving details on, for instance, lunar eclipses, and of course, in addition of those days, he also had a supply horoscope, because in those days, eclipses were also astrologically significant. So it's in this tradition that Andreas von Luxemburg made these kind of publications, and in the case of the eclipse of 1706, he also had this separate pamphlet published. Now, the first real map showing the path of solar eclipse, at least comparable to the modern ones, I think we have to attribute to the German Nuremberg astronomer who was also mentioned earlier today, Johann Gabriel Doppelmayr. I have a website on Doppelmayr if you want to know more about this person in particular, but it's perhaps interesting to just single out the fact that although he was a native of Nuremberg and worked and lived in Nuremberg most of his life, he did travel a little bit in his younger years, visited Holland on two occasions, and stayed in the cities of Utrecht and Leiden. He also visited England. I do not know which people he met, especially not in England. He might have met Halley or other British astronomers, simply don't know that. But there is perhaps a possibility. Doppelmayr is best known for his astronomical diagrams and maps which he designed for the Nuremberg publisher Johann Baptista Hohmann, who in that time ran a very highly respected publishing firm which specialized in atlases. So many of these charts and maps which Doppelmayr designed were published first in atlases by the Hohmann publisher, but many of them were later collected and published separately in Atlas Coelestis in 1742, and I'll show you a few of those maps later. The Atlas Coelestis of Doppelmayr is a bit similar to the Solarius Atlas, which some of you might also be familiar with, which has these magnificent diagrams showing the Ptolemaic, the Copernican, the world system of Tycho Brahe, and all kinds of depictions for explaining astronomy. Well, this is the map in particular that I want to draw your attention to. It was designed by Doppelmayr. It shows you, at first sight, it just shows you the map of Europe. But if you look closely, you can see a whole bunch of thin lines running from the southwest to the northeast. And I'll show you some details about this later. But these give, for this particular eclipse, of 1706 again, it gives you the region where the path of totality is, where the maximum eclipse will be 11 parts of the lunar diameter, solar diameter, 10 parts, 9 parts, 8 parts, etc. And if you compare what we know of this map, if you look at the details, is that this map was published after the eclipse, not before. So it is not a prediction, but as the text says, it gathers together the information on observations of this eclipse. You can recognize the name of Doppelmayr in the first part, and the two tables below give you on the left-hand side the minutes of totality as was observed from various places. There are some open places like the Barcelona and Arles and Schaffhausen, which according to the predictions should have been total, but apparently there were no observers there, or at least Oppenheim could not get any information from observers there. But from other places like Zurich, the Nuremberg, Neuburg, Zeitz, and Breslau, he got observations which stated the number of minutes that totality lasted. The other column gives you, for other places in Europe, the maximum obscuration of the solar disk, which is roughly 10 to 11 and a half parts. 12, of course, is completely complete eclipse. This is a detail from the region near Gibraltar, which shows you the path of totality. In the example which was shown before the break, this part had been colored in gray or black or whatever to make it more prominent. You must realize these early 18th century maps and also the 17th century maps, they were all individually colored by hand. So you will never find two copies which are exactly the same. So it all depended on the person who colored them in, the person who would want to buy such a map, how the map was colored. In this particular example, the part of totality was left uncolored. Well, if you compare the path of this particular eclipse with, well, for instance, with eMapWin, there are of course other programs available as well, you can see that, well, it agrees rather well, especially the part which goes to Western Europe, but especially as the map, as the track moves on to the northeast of Europe, the errors get larger. But again, that has to do with errors in 18th century cartography. Longitudes, especially the further you get away from Europe, the worse they become. Latitudes, that's never has been a big problem in cartography. Longitudes were. As I said, these maps by Doppelmayr were later collected in his Atlas Scholastis, or the reprint, Atlas Novus Scholastis, which also had a spectacular frontispiece, bit similar to the Solaris Atlas frontispiece. And in that atlas, you find this particular diagram of the Copernican system. We know that this map was published earlier in the Hohmann Atlases in 1707, 1712, and again in 1716. But what is particularly interesting in this map is the inset on the left bottom, which shows you kind of a diagram of how the eclipse of 1706 in fact took place. And you can see, at least in some of the colored versions of this map, the path of totality is also colored in to make it more prominent. The same eclipse was also used in another diagram in the same atlas, although this diagram was engraved after 1735. For many of them, that's also a big problem of all these 18th century diagrams and maps. It's very difficult to find out exactly when they were engraved. It's only from other sources, it was published in this atlas or in that atlas, or it was mentioned in an advertisement in some newspaper or whatever, that you can actually date these kinds of diagrams. In this case, this diagram was at least made after 1735. There again, you find in the central inset said, so I apologize for the quality. I have scanned this Chromebook, and the image in the book was not of a very good quality either. Let's go to the Netherlands now. There we find a very similar map to the one published by Homan. But this map was published by Peter Sten, a well-known Amsterdam publisher of maps and atlases. And in the text that runs on the top of the map, it says that it's, well, again, like the Doppelmayr map, it shows the path of the solar eclipse. Compiled from the data collected by Doppelmayr again, but also by Simon van der Molen. And Simon van der Molen was a Dutch mathematician who worked in Amsterdam, also published almanacs and stuff like that. So apparently this map was published slightly later than the Homan map, but again, so that's to say after the event, but before 1711, because that's when Peter Schenk passed away. What's also interesting is the inset that you see at the left again, which seems to be lifted from the Doppelmayr diagram, which I showed you earlier. And in fact, I'll show you a little bit later another map, which also has the same inset. So apparently it was rather popular to include that. Again, you see here a detail from the region near Gibraltar, and if you compare this with the Homan map, it's virtually identical. This is a more detailed view of the inset, which, because it's very tall, I've slipped it into two parts. And it shows the partial phases of the solar eclipse with the background of the zodiac. You can perhaps recognize the constellation Taurus, the bull, to the right. There's an explanatory text about this particular solar eclipse, and on the globe, the path, or at least the path is in this case not colored in, but there are also other examples of this map in other Dutch collections, which in fact have the curve marked more prominently. What's also interesting in this map, which, well, as I said, dates before 1711, is that it has a small chart for the 1715 eclipse, the one which we know from Halley's eclipse maps. Whether Halley knew about this map or the German example, simply don't know. But I mean, in those days, those maps were quite, well, you could find them everywhere in Western Europe. So you might have gotten this idea from seeing either this map or the German example. Another illustration which I have for the 1706 eclipse which I found is this particular drawing. Unfortunately, many of these examples which I found in Dutch collections all come from one particular collection in the University Library of Leiden, and that was a collection put together at the end of the 18th century by a map collector, and he simply collected maps from all kinds of sources. I mean, he cut them out of atlases, out of books, and in many cases we simply don't know the source of the map. In this particular case, it was, I just don't know, people don't know where it comes from, so it might have been clipped from a book or whatever, but it's another example which still needs some further research to locate its original source. I should perhaps remind you that because this eclipse of 1706 passed over a larger part of Europe, it was fairly well observed. There are quite a lot of scholarly articles written around that time about the solar eclipse, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it was even one of the first solar eclipses in which there was mention made of the corona, at least clear mention. There are, of course, earlier claims for the corona, but in this case it seems to be pretty sure. This is the other map which I want to show you, which also had this very interesting inset about the 1706 map. This was published by Karel Allard, also an Amsterdam publisher of maps. Most of the map is made, most of this chart is devoted to the southern hemisphere. It has all the new southern constellations. And in this particular map, it even has right near the center a constellation called Quadratum, which you don't find in any other map. So whether Allard was the inventor of this particular constellation or not, I don't know. But as far as I know, this is the only map which actually shows this constellation. In this slide, I've put together the three different insets from Doppelmayr, diagram from the Schenk and from the Karl Allard. The Allard, again, is not very well in focus because I also scanned that from the book, and the original depiction in that book was of rather poor quality, as you can see. But it's evident that all these three have a common source, which I believe is the Doppelmayr diagram from 1706. Well, just a few later examples. You find many more 18th century depictions of solar eclipse paths, also in Dutch collections. This is an interesting one, which was published by Koekjes, also a Dutch mathematician. He published for a couple of years these yearly diagrams of astronomical phenomena. I would zoom in later on the central part, but it just gives you diagrammatically in a schematic way where to find the planets, the moon, the lunar phases and stuff. Not in a tabular way, but more in a graphical way. What's interesting about this diagram of the solar eclipse of 1732, which was a grazing eclipse, which came over the North Pole region, is that it shows this typical 8 figure that you have at the sunset, sunrise positions. I don't know whether this is the earliest map which actually shows this feature, but as far as I know, this is the earliest one, but there may be earlier ones which I have not located yet. And this is how it looks like for a modern program. Some later examples from Simon Panzer of Emden. It's a harbor place just near the border of Germany and the Netherlands. Has more of these things. I copied this illustration also from a book, so I'm not quite sure whether the paths of the solar eclipse of 1738, which passes over the Atlantic region, and the 1739, which passes over the Polar Sea, were actually added later by hand or not. There has been some attempt to also mark the regions of partial eclipse, but it has been done very crudely and incompletely as well, at least for the northern region. This one is perhaps more familiar to the English audience. This was published in the 1790s, I believe, and it shows a couple of solar eclipses passing over England. Note that it is in this diagram, no distinction has been made between total solar eclipses and annular solar eclipses. The large one, which also goes over France and the Netherlands, for instance, the one of 1764, was an annular solar eclipse, not a total one. Now, I just want to remind you again this problem which I noted earlier, this lack of control of longitudes in the 18th century maps. Don't know whether it comes out good enough on the screen, but it shows you the contours of the continents according to some late 17th and a number of 18th century cartographers. As you can see, there are large errors in longitude, certainly the further you get away from Western Europe. This is for the Eastern Hemisphere, but in the Western Hemisphere it's no better either. The eastern coast of America is well mapped, but the western coast is of course very problematic. Now these solar eclipses and these solar eclipse maps, they did in the 18th century and the first in the 19th century, were very useful for getting more accurate longitudes. And you find quite a number of publications, especially in the second half of the 18th century, when the lunar theory, the theory of computing the places of the moon, gets better and better. And quite a lot of publications, in fact, derive very accurate longitude differences from observations of solar eclipses. So scientifically, there was a great interest in solar eclipses already in the 18th and 19th century. Of course, nowadays, attention has completely shifted to the astrophysical aspects of solar eclipses, but for longitude determination purposes, they were already very important in the 18th century. Now, are there earlier examples than the examples which I showed you? Well, I don't actually know exactly, but it's interesting to know that Otto Neugebauer, famous historian of astronomy, he noted in 1975 that possibly Cassini, Jean-Dominique Cassini, Italian-French astronomer who later became director of the Paris Observatory, he seems to have published in 1664, a pamphlet or booklet, it's not quite sure what it exactly is, which depicts a terrestrial map showing the path of a solar eclipse. The problem is, this publication cannot be found. It's mentioned in Lalande, Lalande's Bibliographie Astronomique, it's in 1802, which gives a full title and place where it was published, in Ferrara. But again, Lalande is citing from another source, that is this White, which is an earlier astronomy bibliography, which was published around the 1750s. The problem is that in 1664, there was no total eclipse. You can easily check that with maps again, of course. There was one in 1661. So, and it was, for Italy, it was a very prominent one even. So perhaps there has been a typo somewhere, and in fact Weidler had been referring to a publication on the 1661 eclipse. But again, this publication cannot be found. It's, as far as I know, not available in any observatory library. It's not available in any Italian library. So until this publication has been found, there's in fact nothing more that I can say about it. Whether it is similar to the Doppelmayr or not. I mean, it might just be something more like this diagram. This is, of course, of a later date. Of course, this refers to the solar eclipse of 1737. But from other sources, such as Flamsteed's letters, who also refers to letters from Cassini, one has the impression that this diagram of the 1661 eclipse might be something similar to this one. But again, until we find it, we cannot be more sure about that. So that is, as far as I can tell, what I know now at the moment on these old early solar eclipse maps. I'm still not finished with my research. There's still a lot of libraries and map collections which I still want to have a look at. So it's not impossible that there still might be earlier examples. But I think as far as the evidence is at the moment, the Doppelmayr one seems to be the first genuine map which shows the path of the solar eclipse. I'd like to end with that.
Interesting report. Are there any questions?
Yes.
The first calculation of an eclipse track I've been able to find is 1605 by Kepler.
Could you stand up, please? And
in 1605, Kepler calculated an eclipse track, and it seems to have been done immediately after the eclipse. And it was the same thing. He sent it out to his friends and said, "Here's a calculation of a track. Tell me what you saw." But there's some indication he may have done one in the late 15th century, and there may have been maps with that. I have a copy of the 1605 paper, which, memory serves me right, doesn't have a map in it, but it might give you the sort of earliest framework from which you should start looking forward, because it was at that point they could actually put the track on.
And this was a letter from Kepler or a publication?
It was published, and it's all in... So evil Latin,
yes,
I can't read it very well, but I have a copy and I can.
Well, that'd be interesting to learn about it. I mean, I would expect it would be in the Gesammelte to Werk, of course, the collected works of Kepler. But
it's never been translated in English, but it may have been translated into German.
But Kepler published a series of almanacs each year through that period. They exist sometimes in only one or two copies. I helped Howard get a long copy of, I think, 1604 or 5. So I have access to where those almanacs are. We could look through them.
Yes, almanacs are really a very obvious source to look for these kinds of maps. The problem is that almanacs tend to be thrown away at the end of the year. So it's very rare to find complete.
This isn't an almanac. He tells you how he calculated it in the paper. The short title is "De Solis Deliquio," but it actually says on the solar eclipse to lovers of things astronomical living in Iberia, Sardinia, and Italy, I think.
Okay, well, I'd be very much interested in learning more about this publication.
And you just showed something about an eclipse from 1664,
yes.
But said that Cassini did this under the influence, as I recall, of the transits of Venus in 1761 and 1769. So there's
That's what Neugebauer claimed, but I don't believe that part. I mean, I just simply quoted this from Neugebauer. I don't believe that link. Neugebauer thought there was a link between those two things. But I mean, as far as I know, the real computing into Venus transits, that was in the 18th century, not in the 16th days.
Yeah.
So I think Nogi Bauer errors here.
On this research, do you have publication plans?
I have publication plans, but well, as I said, I'm still too busy with it.
I think many of us will be glad to see this in print. Other questions?
What's the earliest known predictive
map? Predictive map?
Yes.
Well, I mean, the one which I showed from Andreas von Luxemburg.
That's the earliest.
That, as far as I know, that's the earliest. I mean, with the computation, with the map. I mean, of course, there are much earlier predictions of solar eclipses, but not with the map. And that's especially the link to the map. That's what I've been trying to research.
Is Dr. Stevenson here yet? I guess he's going to talk tomorrow. So I don't know what his earliest map is.
Well,
he certainly does in his book on historical eclipses talk about the prediction of the Medes and the Lydians.
Oh, yes, and
conclude that that's an apocryphal story, which is often cited as the earliest.
That's how we could discuss when the earliest eclipse prediction that people believe is.
Okay. Any other questions? I think is Patrick here? Well, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for all the speakers and a very interesting morning session.
We have a break and we have lunch. Unfortunately, we only only take cash. So we see you back here at 1:40. All right. Thank you. Have a nice meal.